Let's look at Ephesians 6, verse 16, with you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen.
Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you first and foremost for who you are. Father God, we thank you for your love, your kindness, Lord God, your mercy and your grace toward us, oh God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, just to come together in fellowship. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would just speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, your word, O God of truth, Heavenly Father, may it be engrafted in us, O God, to further conform us to the likeness of your Son. Touch Pastor Wright as he teaches, O God. Heavenly Father, we just pray right now, O God, that you would just continue to break his heart. Heavenly Father, that your will be magnified and manifest. Heavenly Father, to our edification. Heavenly Father, that we might just continue to grow and be shaped and conformed to your likeness. Oh God, bless us now, Lord God, everybody on this Zoom call, those who have not yet joined, who are on their way. Heavenly Father, bless us, oh God. Speak to our hearts intentionally, oh God, your will for our lives. Heavenly Father, just have your way, Lord God. We pray your spirit be magnified in us, oh God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, that after, even as we leave this Zoom call, Lord God, your word would just continue to reverberate in our hearts. Heavenly Father, that you would just continue to speak to us, oh God. Heavenly Father, those things, Lord God, that you want us to hear. You said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, oh God. Heavenly Father, open up the very our spiritual ears, oh God, the very eyes of our hearts, oh God, that you might be revealed to us even in this time, Lord God. Have your way. We thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And so just to get right to it tonight, we talk about what we're wrestling against and what we're facing in this world. And we talked about it a little bit on Sunday, and we will turn the numbers. We will turn the numbers because I just want to just kind of expound on what we're wrestling against and where this battle is. So let's turn the numbers. Everybody that has their Bible, before we really get good into the sword of the Spirit and why we want to refer to the Spirit. And tonight we will be looking at Hebrews 4 and 12. You can't really deal with Ephesians 6, 17, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, without looking at, to me, that's my opinion, but without looking at Hebrews 4, 12. So we will be looking at Hebrews 4, 12. But before we get to Hebrews 4, 12, I want to look at numbers. We talk about the how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Mm-hmm. That's what we, and really Sunday, Numbers 23, chapter 22 and 23, it gave us just a picture of where this battle is. We saw the picture. And so here in Numbers, we look at chapter 23 and how Balaam and Balak, they went to different places. Here you have the children of Israel, right? Going, traveling in the wilderness on their way from Egypt to Canaan land. And we know how many of them died in the wilderness. Many of them died and many of them did not make it to the promised land, because of the curses and the things that were on their lives. Even in Numbers 22, we were talking about this last night. Numbers 22, where the fiery, or 21, I believe, where the fiery serpents came forth because they complained and they murmured in the wilderness. God released his wrath in the form of fiery serpents. Mm. And that's in Numbers 21, verses 8 and verses 9. and how Moses had to build a brass serpent and hold it up. And he says, look and live. When you see this brass serpent, based on your faith to obey God and what he says, they were healed. So when we look at Numbers 23, verse 7, and it says, and he took up this parable and said to Balak, the king of Moab, have brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and curse and defy Israel. How shall, and this is what Balaam's answer to Balak was, how shall I curse whom God had not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. That means they shall stand apart from everybody else, all the pagan nations. That means Israel shall stand alone because they were God's people. And everybody who names the name of the Lord, guess what? We're God's people. We're God's chosen people. If we're saved for real, we have the protection of God on our lives. We're no longer living in condemnation, but now we live. We have everlasting life built into us. Amen. John 3:36 talks about the wrath of God. For those who are unsaved, the wrath of God is still over their heads. But to us who are saved, when we don't walk in accordance to his word and to obedience, amen, guess what? You bring a curse, or you can bring generational curses or different things back into your life to influence you. But if only Israel had stood on what God says about them, if they had stood on even when Moses brought them out of Egypt and the things that they saw and the miracles that they saw, which wasn't enough. Amen. Seeing backflips and miracles and things, even in the church, is not enough. Even when they saw the miracles of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, guess what? That was not enough. We have to take him by faith, and we have to take him at his word. So when we see here in Numbers chapter 23, it says in verse 10, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. This is what Balaam was saying. And let my last end be like this. We see love. We see God's love, even on their lives. Even further down in verse 19, he says again, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall not make it good? Behold, I received the commandment to bless. Listen, we've got to know what we have. We've got to know what God has bequeathed, what he's given us. And I'm telling you, not enough people, so many people are worried about everybody else. What's going on externally? What's going on in other people's lives? Even your enemies. You can't worry about your enemies. We need to get focused on what Christ has for us. We have to get focused on what Christ says about us. And that's what it's all about. And so he says here, God is not a man that he should lie, verse 19, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? And have spoken and shall not make it good. Behold, I receive the commandment. I'm going to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in his children or Jacob. Neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt and had, as it were, the strength of the unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment We've got to know as people of God, there's no weapon. Amen. Formed against us is able to prosper. And listen, y'all, listen. What we got to know is, guess what? If I get attacked, if I'm in the will of God and I'm walking upright, walking up respectively, circumspectively, and I get attacked, guess what? We've got to even see these attacks as coming from the Lord. We've got to see our trials and our tribulations, guess what? As coming from the Lord. And when we can see it as coming from the Lord, as a result of just coming from somebody else, our enemy, we'll deal with it much differently. Amen. We've got to give these things to him. We've got to take our burdens to him. But yet and still, we see the spiritual warfare. We see where the devil was trying to curse them. Amen. And then here in verse chapter 24, we see it again. In verse 17, well, verse 13 says, if Balak would give me his house, Balak, full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord or to do either good or bad to them. Right? I can't do it. And so over and over again, we see where the enemy, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power. We see where the enemy was trying to combat them, but he couldn't because they were covered by the blood. However, many of them still fell because they were living lives contrary to what the Lord had set forth for them. And so Balaam, and God exposes Balaam in Jude chapter 1 and also in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, 15, and 16, where many of these churches had adopted the spirit of Balaam and the spirit of the Nicolaitans. That's why we're bouncing around from the churches, right? And Revelations, Smyrna, Pergamos, Philadelphia, Ephesus, all those churches that were there. But all the churches in Revelation that we see the kingdom of Satan or the throne of Satan, we see the attack, we see the evil wickedness, even when they try to put the curses on the children of Israel, we see evil wickedness. Where? In high places. Amen? We see evil wickedness in high places. And this is what happened. Because of carnality in the church and because of carnality in the camp and soulful church, we're going to talk about that, soulful church. Guess what? They mixed. There was a mixed multitude that followed them out of Egypt, but also even here, they fell in Baal Peor. Verse 25, chapter 25. It says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. So what Balaam said, hey, we can't stop them, or I can't curse them, but I'm going to join them. And I've said it over the last couple of weeks, and that's what we talk about, the surface church. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat, chapter 25 of Numbers, they did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel, this is what it says, joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. God's wrath and plague, and in the verse 4 it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them, all those that sin before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger, y'all see that? That the fierce anger of the Lord might be turned away. Because they sinned and because they fell, the anger, the wrath of God came upon these people. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. And in the sight of all the congregation, the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 7 says, and when Phinehas, the son of Elijah, the son of Aaron the priest, when he saw it, he rose up from among the congregation. And y'all know what he did? He took a javelin in his hand, right? And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through the belly, through the belly. And somebody might look at that and be like, man, that's mean. And that's harsh. How could he take a javelin and throw it between the man who offended God and the woman who the harlot or whoever this Midianist woman was? He took the javelin and he killed her right there on the spot. Right? And the Bible says in verse 11 that Phinehas, the son of Elijah, the son of Aaron the priest, had turned away my wrath from the children of Israel while he was jealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. And y'all know there have been people and preachers and people, just religious people who have read this and disagreed with this. This is God's word. When he says the act, and a lot of times he will tell us, even in the wilderness, you know, told Saul, kill them all. Don't allow any of them to live. And we see the wrath of God in the Old Testament without the cross and without the blood of Jesus Christ. We see a picture of his wrath. Listen, y'all, you know what else this is? We see a picture of what Christ endured on the cross for our sins. We see the curse that he took. And when the Bible says he became a curse, and that's also in Deuteronomy. It said, hang him on the cross in Deuteronomy, right? Because they were considered cursed. And the Bible says, or hang him on a tree in Deuteronomy. And the Bible says, cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. And because Phinehas did this, the wrath of God was turned away from the rest of the children of Israel. 24,000 died because they fell at Baal Peor. And they committed whoredoms. Not only did they commit fornication, right? But they worshiped false gods. False gods. And even in Joshua chapter 5, with the circumcision at Gilgal, they had to be circumcised. They obeyed, first of all, they obeyed God obediently. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to turn there. We're going to look there a little bit. Now, somebody might say, well, what does all this have to do with the word of God? Or the sword of the spirit and the word of God? Somebody say everything. And so, listen, I'm going to say this. Verse 12 in Numbers 25 says, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. This is what Phinehas did. And he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. This was God's approval of Phinehas because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianish woman, was Zimri, and the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zer, and he was head over a people and a chief house in Midian. And so God is, he was distinct. And why Phinehas killed these people who committed whoredom and the sea God's wrath being turned away from the rest. And when you see this 24,000 die because of a plague, And y'all think about this plague that we're going through now, this coronavirus. Listen, no, ain't nobody else going to say it, so I say it. It's because of our sin. When you see the seduction and the stuff that's going on in our land, in this world, amen? And if he can say to Sodom and Gomorrah and to Noah and in Noah's day, it repented God that he had made man, he's speaking the same thing now. And for people to say, no, this plague, this coronavirus, it's just happenstance, I'm here to tell you it's not. Amen. It's not. It's not. This coronavirus, this pandemic that we're going through, and I heard Pastor Starling, amen, he said it's a kickback. It's God's wrath because we've decided to do our own thing. When it talks about having our ears, people's ears being turned from the truth of God, and going about to hear a lie from somebody else, don't want to know the truth, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, it's the wrath of God, amen, that's come upon us, upon this world, amen. God is speaking. He's speaking. That's enough for that. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Amen. I'm on the Lord's side. Thank God. Amen. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are covered, and we've got to know we're covered. And when you talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it's the separation. That sword is meant for me and the attacks of Satan that come against me, the separation of the soul and the spirit. And we're going to look at that. But I just wanted to open up with this. Joshua chapter 5. Verse 8, it says, and when it came to pass, when they had done circumcising, first of all, the angel of the Lord had appeared to Balaam. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord with his sword in his hand. And when he saw a sword in his hand, that sword represented the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. And so here in Joshua chapter 5, verse 8, says, and it came to pass when he had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal. This rolling away also, when you look at Golgotha's hill, it's taking from this word right here. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day. Verse 11 says, and when they did eat of the corn of the land of the Marrow, after the Passover on the unleavened cakes, parched with corn in the same self day, and the manna ceased on the Marrow, after they had eaten the corn and the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat. So that means when the manna went away, it was time to go over, amen, into Canaan and bring down the walls of Jericho. But verse 13 says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Amen. But before that, Gilgal, where the curse of Egypt, verse 9, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place shall be Gilgal, right? When he says, I rolled away the reproach, that is the wrath, the sin, the curses that they had in Egypt. God rolled them off that were committed even from the generations. Amen. And when you look at this reproach from Egypt. And you see, I listen, y'all think I'm crazy. I'm seeing more and more tattoos. Can y'all see my screen? That's the eye horse, right? And I'm, look, and that's just one of many tattoos of Nefertiti heads and ox and different things that, listen, that people are tattooing on their bodies. And guess what, y'all? A lot of these things have come out of Egypt. They've come right out of Egypt. Amen. And I'm not just picking on Egypt. This world is a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. But when you look at Moses, right? And God told him to go to Pharaoh. And he said, let my people go. They were in bondage. Pastor Wright used to always talk about the spirit of oppression and suppression that they faced when they fell in Numbers 13. And they made a golden calf. When they made that golden calf, right? They made that golden calf right in the wilderness. And these were things they adopted, things of the occult and things of false god deity and Aphrodite and different things that they were. Listen, and when you look at the Nile, they had a god of the river. They had a god of the grain. They had a god of the frogs. Each one of those deities, the river, the Nile, and different things, they had a god, a Baal god that they worshiped. And one day we will do a Bible study on this when the Lord allows me to. We will. We're not going to do it tonight. But if you look at the plagues, right, and you look at the miracles of Moses and the plagues that were sent to affect each one of those plagues, like he turned the water into what? Into blood. Let's name some of the plagues. Firstborn, the locusts, the flies, the boils, the cattle. But each one of those plagues that Moses pronounced when God said, hold up your staff or put the staff in the water or whatever it was that God told him to do, that was an attack against their Baal gods, because they thought everything had a god that they worshiped. Even when the rain and the drought came, they would pray to the god of rain. And you can see that even in Elijah's day. And Elijah prayed. Elijah said he prayed that it would not rain. After what? 3 years. And he prayed again and the rain came back. God showed him that he was the great I am. God had to show him that he was the true and the living God. And so when he says, I rolled, he was specific. When he said, I rolled away the reproach of Egypt and those Baal and those false gods that they worship. That's why, man, y'all get, man, people get stuff tattooed on them. Not, first of all, your body belongs to the Lord. You shouldn't be getting any tattoos. That's the first thing. Somebody said, well, I'm getting a cross. I'm going to put a scripture. No, your body belongs to God. Oh, Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. You are a temple of God. But you see people getting stuff tattooed. There's this one basketball superstar, man. He got some stuff all over his body, and it's all demonic. Matter of fact, they putting this stuff on the sneakers. They're putting it on clothes. And when you see people putting wings all on this stuff, those wings don't mean angels. Amen. A lot of this stuff we see, the signs, the symbolism, mm-hmm. and the graphics and stuff that you can barely make it out what it is. A lot of this stuff is demonic. Amen. And so a lot of this stuff is demonic. Amen. And God had to roll away the reproach of Egypt. Amen. And so when you see here back in Joshua chapter 5, I have so much material on that, rolled away the reproach, what that reproach is. And that, listen, that word reproach means shame or guilt. Or something hanging over your head where the devil has access. But God rolled that approach away. And we see Christ taking our reproach for us. He became a curse for us on the cross. So when we look at chapter 5, and it says, and then Joshua saw the man, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the Lord of hosts, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord, capital L, unto his servant? And y'all notice that that was the very pre-incarnate Christ, the captain of the Lord of hosts, who and Joshua would not have failed and worshiped. When John was on the Isle of Patmos and he tried to worship the angel, angel said, no, get up. Worship belongs to the true and living God. So you see the sword of the Spirit, which is, and I went all the way around the world just to get there, which is the word of God. You can't separate Christ from the word and the word from Christ. So two things we want to talk about is we talk about John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. Now I'm going to go to this sheet. And the word was God. The word of God, Jesus Christ being the word, he's the Logos. That's talking about the Logos word. But when we get specific to a scripture or the dagger, amen, that's referring to a rhema word. Some people take that and run with it and get all crazy. But you'll see in the Greek, you'll see in John 1:1, you'll see this word logos used, and in other parts in the Bible, like it is written a rhema word, you'll see a rhema word where a rhema word is written. Amen. But now let's turn to Hebrews 4:11. Not going to get through all this, but I just want to show you where the battle was and where the battle is, spiritual wickedness in high places, and how we're living in an evil day, and how that it's when we operate out of a soulless realm versus walking in the spirit that gives the enemy a right to come in, right? And cause havoc in this spiritual warfare battle. So when it says here in Hebrews 4:11, let us labor. That means let us give diligence. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is what? Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing, the soul and the spirit. And the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner even of the intents of the heart. And so I have on my sheet here, let us labor, give diligence. Diligence is the opposite of drifting. In Hebrews 2:13, it refers to the children of Israel that they drifted. Amen. Let me read that. 2:13. And again, 2:12. Says, saying, I declare my name, thy name, unto my brother. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. But there's a verse that talks about how they drifted. And I know Hebrews 4:1 says, let us there fear, lest a promise being left us entering into that rest, and you should seem to come short of it. For unto them, unto us was the gospel preached, verse 2 of chapter 4, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed in faith in them that heard it. How shall we escape if we neglect such greatest salvation, which it first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who hear him, who heard him. And so basically, they drifted with hearts of unbelief, not taking God at his word and walking in disobedience. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this, that when we talk about powers and principalities and rulers, and I don't want to be flippant, but Daniel chapter 1, we look at the Hebrew boys, the three Hebrew boys, and how King Nebuchadnezzar tried to indoctrinate them with the customs and the ways of Babylon and the Babylonian false gods. The children of Israel and all that fell, and they were dragged into that land, right? Because of disobedience. But the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and who? Abednego. How that the word of God was implanted in them. Amen. And they said, listen, we're not going to partake of the king's meats. We're not going to do what he says do. We're going to do what the Lord says do. Amen. And how that they stood against what they felt. We're going to get into that. The soul and the spirit. And it's the word of God that's got to cut between our soul and our spirit. That we're not led by how we feel. That we're not led by our emotions. They weren't led by fear. Fear is a part of the emotions. So when it says here, we have to give diligence to the word. And how do we give diligence? By getting in the word, by laboring in the word, by examination of the word and meditation. Amen. Meditation in the word. Joshua had to meditate. David had to meditate. And Hebrews 9:13 says this. We talk about the washing of the word, right? By the examination of the word, for if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes and a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without a spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? But we talk about being cut by the word. It's all right to be cut. And it's all right to labor in the word, be examined by the word, that the word might speak through you or to you. And we talk about the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. That word of God, that sword was put in the holster of the belt of truth. So you can't have the sword of the spirit without truth in the inward man or in the hidden part. Because it's the truth. You shall know the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. So in other words, you can't take the word out of context or pick and choose the scriptures or choose the messages that you want to listen to. You can't pick and choose what, and I know the word is cut when the preacher preaches or whatever. But you're going to take what feels and sounds good to you and ignore the things that God is speaking to you. We've got to be honest with ourselves. And that's the battle that's between the soul and the spirit. Amen? The natural man and the spirit man. Because when we had church on the surface, guess what? You're having church in the soul. And here in the next point, we talk about the word, our cutting between the soul and the spirit. Believers often accept what is of the soul as coming from the spirit. And the soulish and religion can blend together, especially in an emotionally filled church where there is no emphasis on repentance, brokenness, and death. And I know we talk about this. Somebody's probably saying, man, can we just move on? But guess what? We got to talk about it. We've got to talk about it. Amen. Where the word of God, and it's personal. It's so personal. Where when we talk about the truth, of, and guess what, y'all? Even today, God was dealing with me. This word of God is like a mirror. And it's got to show. This is the cutting of the word. It's like a mirror to show us how we really look. And that's where it starts, with the mirror, that we can see some things internally, how we really look. Because what this world wants to do, y'all, this world wants to shape us. This world wants to shape us. It's bad enough we've been shaped out of some houses we've come out of, or some down south, or wherever we come out. We've been shaped by something. And that's why David can say, born in sin and what? Shaped in iniquity. And those are the things, listen, and I talked about it last week, how these things can hide out in the subconscious. Because even in this illustration, we see the soul. And there's a subconscious that's in the soul where things can hide out. And guess what? When the word can't get there, and I'm so glad, y'all, but the word has to pinpoint some things in our lives. Things that have blurred the line that we think is the soul, or we think is the spirit. We think we're on our way and we're in good relationship or standing with God, and we're really not, because of the soul. And the word has to penetrate between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it's got to be the discerner even of the intents of our heart. Amen. And when we talk about let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's where he wants to trip us up. And we talk about being shaped, talk about different strongholds and different things that we can go through, man. Listen, I had to be honest with me, amen, with what's going on in me. That's my battle. And guess what? When I can get there and repent them things and let the word get there and expose me, guess what? That's my protection. That's my protection. Because now I'm in the will of God, the perfect will of God. So let's go back to our sheet where it says here that let us labor to give diligence to the word. That's the first point. Mm-hmm. And then the second point, the word is the cutting between the soul and the spirit. Believers often accept as what's coming from the soul as coming from the spirit. The soulless and the religion can blend together, especially in emotionally filled church, where there's no emphasis on repentance, brokenness, and death. Through the body, man is in contact with the sensual world. Through his spirit, man holds fellowship with the Spirit of God. The soul stands between these two worlds, yet belongs to both. It is the link through the spiritual world, through the spirit and the material world, with the body, and the soul holds the key. You grow in the word, and it's a love relationship that will make one want to submit to the other. Amen. And that's what was going on in the church in Corinth. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. So verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Mm-hmm. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. For God says, for I have written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing of the understanding and the prudent. And then he goes on to say in verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews the stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them who are called both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Amen. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. And then in chapter two says this in verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, neither ear have not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has showed him by his Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit? And what man, which is it of him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but it is the Spirit. Amen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Verse 14 says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But guess what, y'all? We have the mind of Christ. Amen? So when we talk about that, we talk about the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it's the sword of the Spirit, those things that are shaped in me. And when Jesus Christ, the very word himself, was walking on the word, was walking after he was crucified, and he was walking with those disciples, and he began to expound and all the things throughout the scriptures. And as he began to expound, they said, did not our hearts burn? Listen, and the words got to get personal, where if there's a burning in the heart, and where you know it's the Spirit of God. And as the word gets personal, right? And I'm telling you, there's joy in examination. It don't feel good. There's joy in cutting, because it's a double-edged sword. It cuts going in, but guess what? It heals going out. And so when we know that, it's the word, when we're in our closets and the word is exposing me to me to bring about the life of Christ. Amen. Even to me. That's where the fruit of the Spirit, his joy, his love, his peace comes in my life. Amen. The soul also possesses the power of free will. The soul is the gate and holds the key, whether we die to the flesh or whether we yield to the Spirit. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn we fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth what? Much fruit. Amen. And the soul is the gate that holds the key to whether we die to the flesh. Amen. Or whether we yield to the Spirit. So he says, bring forth much fruit. It's our death. It's our death. It's the cutting of the word. It's the crucifixion of my flesh that brings, amen, much fruit. When Jesus was about to go and he told his disciples, Matthew 16:24, when he was about to go and he was telling them the things he must suffer, here's the soulless man. Peter said, no, you don't have to suffer. Jesus said, no, you don't. Peter said, no, you don't have to suffer. And Jesus rebuked him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense against me. He said, if any man come after me, let him first what? Deny himself. Pick up his what? Cross. Wow. And follow me. Amen. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we see it over and over again, the battle of the flesh and the Spirit. And it takes the word Christ himself, the word, guess what? He said, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Paul said, as babes desire milk, sincere milk of the word of God. We need the word of God. We have to grow in the word. We have to be doused in the word. Amen. And guess what? When I'm delivered internally and the word has cut between what I think and what, y'all know emotions are a mess. And your emotions can have you making decisions, right? But your emotions can be part, I'm not saying God can use your emotions, but 9 times out of 10, if we're honest with ourselves, our emotions have derived from the soul. Amen? And people can speak to the soul. People can speak to your pain and speak to your past through a familiar spirit and it not be the Lord. It's got to be an individual, personal thing. Where, and I'm telling you, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The best place to be is like the man who stood and smote his chest. You had the Pharisees saying great prayers. But the one who beat his chest, right? And he said, God, I'm a sinner. I'm not even worthy. And he bowed his head toward the ground. Listen. It's a personal, when Jesus says, go into your closet. Listen, I'm telling you, God is exposing me right now. He's exposing me to myself and telling me there's still some things that I got to work out. I got to work out in Randy Wright. And if I can say it, we can all say it. It's personal. And listen, and when we talk about it's personal, not being led by, because when we led by the flesh, man, hook, line, and sinker. And listen, our decision-making process. Mm-hmm. That's why on Sunday, I talk about we've got to know how much we're loved. Because when we make decisions for our families and for our house, even for the church, it's got to be a decision made out of the validation of Jesus Christ. To know that we're loved and it comes through our brokenness. Other word, that his love is released in my life. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after the spirit and not walk after the flesh. Amen. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. Amen. And listen, one of the worst things we could do is make a decision out of insecurity or fear. Or wanting to be loved. When we look at these strongholds and how the devil has shaped us, maybe you have a spirit of bitterness. And spirit of bitterness will lead to resentment and hate, unforgiveness, anger, and violence. People just, man, and guess what? People can be mad and not know why. Just have a bit, just mean. Some people just mean and don't know why. But man, I'm telling you, you can't love nobody out of your own strength. Listen, when we're not broken to the love of Christ through this word, that's why, thank God you're on here for Bible study, but you have to have a closet where you can get personal and intimate, because you know why? People think everybody else is the problem. And they only see other people. And they see themselves in a light like they just like the best thing. You know, they just the bomb.com. Right? That's how we see ourselves. That's how we see ourselves. Without the word of God. But I got to see myself. Somebody say something. Somebody did something. And then people aren't getting along. You know why? Because you got to see yourself. When you can see yourself and God can deal with the things in you, some people just mean. They see themselves and they like the best thing since sliced bread, right? But it's a brokenness we got to get to where the love of Christ, we're filled with that love, where we're so enveloped by the love, we can't help it. We can't help it. Right? Where we can love one another for real. Amen. We've got to be able to see ourselves. Some people are good at externalizing and only seeing, well, oh, well, you know, she got this problem. He got this problem. He got this problem. What about the problem you got? What about the problem you got? Lord, help me to see my own laws. Help me to see myself. Help me to see my raggedness. Help me to see the way I, my disposition, my nasty stuff. Yeah. We got to see ourselves. And it's where we're honest with God. Through the cutting of the word. Through the, because if not, a spirit of religion, we can come to church, clap our hands, but stuff be wrong in our spirits. Because we blur the line between the old man and the new man. Between the soul and the spirit. Right? Got a little emotional in church? But unless you're willing to apply this word to yourself, and that's the sword of the spirit. Listen, listen, listen. We've got to be filled with that love. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people got a problem with everybody. And you got to know, if I got a problem with a couple people, the problem might be me. And when it says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. Get personal with this word. He leading me beside the still water. That's my meditation. And then it says, he restoreth my soul. Soul restoration. The thing, and that's the separation right there. And he leadeth me in the path of what? Righteousness. Namesake. And then, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, guess what? I will fear no evil. For God is what? With me. His rod and his staff, they what? Comfort me. Thou prepares a table where? In the presence of my enemy. And guess what? My cup what? Runs over. That means my cup is filled. I'm in bliss with Christ. I'm consumed with Christ. I'm overwhelmed with his love. Regardless, listen, but a table in the midst of my enemies, meaning those things are still there. And man, and listen, and we all got enemies, right? But some people only focus on the enemies. Get to a place where you rise above your enemies. Get to a place where you rise above people that don't like you. Get to the place where you gotta love them anyhow. We've got to get to the place where we're consumed by this word. Don't get too busy putting all this stuff on your plate. Amen. You've got to get deeper in this word. Deep calls unto deep. As the deer panteth after the water brook, so does my soul pant after thee. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless your name. To know that you are God all by yourself, and beside you there is none other. God, every prayer request on the line, even in the heart, God, you know about it right now. Father God, we pray, oh God, that you break us to seeing you and you alone. God, give us just that one-on-one space and place with your word, that when you cut us, and you show us some things about ourselves, God, that we will repent and yield them things to you. Our lives are like an onion where you continue to cut us and shape us to conform us to the image of your son. That's the will that you have for our lives. That he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God, I'm not going to get it in the church service. May not get it in this Bible study. But help us all to get up or get to a place where we can be one-on-one with you. Like Mary. Like Jacob when he wrestled with you all night. Help us, oh God, to be like the one who smote his chest. Help us to be like the disciples who walk and talk with you and say, did not I? Help us, oh God, to be overwhelmed and consumed by your love. And that the decisions that we make for our lives, we'll see them from a place of validation and security in you. Help us not to get bogged down by what people say, what our enemies are doing, or who we disagree with and all this stuff, but help us to love them. unconditionally, that we can take the high road, that we can say, let the spine be in you that was also in Christ. Thought it not robbery to be made equal unto God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him of the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man. That's our freedom. That's how we win the battle. The battle begins in us. Help us, oh God, to take heed to this word. Help us to die to ourselves. God, we thank you. We pray for even our streets and our local neighborhoods and our churches, oh God, our communities. We pray. We are in a battle. We are in the last and evil days. Help us to get right with you personally, oh God. And it's a personal relationship where we can see ourselves, that you can bless us with the blessings that we stand in need of. God, we love you and we bless you and we praise you. God, help us. You said by this we will know that we are your disciples. When we love, help us to love one another, even on this line, even in the church. God, that we will be your people. We will be your vessels. God, we love you and we bless you because, God, when I'm broken to a place for real and can see my stuff and take my eyes off of my enemies, you will deal with my enemies. God, help us to give our enemies even a cold water of glass where we won't heap hot coals even on our heads. God, we love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name and for it we pray. Amen.